There's a great story in the 18th chapter of John. It takes place after the upper room. Jesus has been with his disciples. They've celebrated the Passover. He has initiated the Lord's Supper. He took the bread. He took the cup. He told his disciples that he would not be with them much longer. He told them what was going on. You can read in John's Gospel an extensive narrative of all that took place on that night. Then when they left the upper room, Paul, the last thing they did, by the way, they sang a hymn. Don't you think it was "Blessed Be the Tie"? Had to be. They sang a hymn. They left the upper room. They went down across the Kidron Valley and went to the Garden of Gethsemane. That's when Jesus prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done." While they were in the Garden of Gethsemane, Judas comes with a motley group of soldiers and officials and temple leaders. He comes to arrest Jesus. Now, this is what happens. It's in John chapter 18. In the fourth verse, Jesus, knowing everything that was about to befall him, asked them, "Whom do you seek?" And they answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." And then Jesus said, "I am." Ego, I, me. I am. And you know what happens? You can see it in the sixth verse. As soon as Jesus said, "I am," everybody fell to the ground. Now, you go back to this passage that Linda read from Exodus chapter 3. Moses said, "Who are you? What is your name?" "I am who I am." And there in the garden, you have these group of people with evil intentions who have come to arrest Jesus. "Whom do you seek?" "Jesus of Nazareth." When he announced, "I am," everything changes. You've got to get this in perspective, because John tells us, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were made through him. There was not anything made, that was not made through him." He is the creative power. He is the eternal Word. He is the Logos, life itself. You think these guys with clubs and torches and swords can compete with him? Who's in control here? "I am." They all fall down. Then something happens. When everybody gets to their feet, they compose themselves. They start to arrest Jesus. And remember what old Simon Peter does? Good old Simon Peter. Bless his heart, Simon Peter. Impetuous Simon Peter. He said, "I'm not going to allow this to happen." And he has a sword with him. He's going to fight to the end. Pulls out the sword. There's a brief scuffle. Cuts off a guy's ear. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus looked at Simon Peter and said, "Put away your sword. I am has spoken." Gentle Jesus, put away your sword. That's not the way we resolve issues. I wonder what Jesus would say to the modern Israelis and Palestinians. I think I know. Don't you? Joyce and I were in Belize last week. We were there for the annual meeting of the Baptist Training Center. And one night, We went to dinner at a little Italian place, and there were a group of young people. There were 7 or 8 young people who were very polite, kind, gracious, just like our young people. You could look at them and tell these kids were raised right. And so I started talking to them. I said, "Where is your home?" And they said, "We're from Israel." The conflict had already started when they left. And so we started talking to these young people, and my first impression was, these are gentle young people. They're not interested in fighting. They're not interested in conflict. And we talked about it, and they said, "We have no problem living with the Palestinians. We have no problem recognizing them as equals. If only we could learn from our young people. Of all the qualities of Jesus, of all the wonderful descriptions and adjectives that we heard in the anthem, perhaps the one that we need to hear more than anything else and the one that we need to emulate is gentleness and kindness." Jesus was a gentle Savior. Remember what he said in Matthew? "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, for I am gentle and I am lowly in heart." In the 42nd chapter of Isaiah, in one of the passages where it describes the Messiah, it said, "He will not argue or lift up his voice and make it heard in the street." He is a gentle Messiah. In the book of Zechariah, "Behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and riding on a donkey." Of all the qualities of Jesus, we need gentleness in our world. In just a few weeks, we're going to begin our Monday night and Tuesday morning Bible study. We're going to talk about the Beatitudes. One of the Beatitudes is, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the peacemakers. Now, you may say, "Well, Jesus wasn't always gentle. Remember when he ran the money changers out of the temple? Remember when he had harsh words for the religious leaders?" You are exactly right. But when you think about it, Jesus reserved his harshest criticism and his strongest words and his outbursts of righteous indignation toward people who took the name of God and distorted it and used it to exploit and oppress other people. For those who took the name of God and blasphemed that name. For those who were not gentle. In French, the word for friend is ami. You know where that comes from? Yahweh. In Spanish, it's amigo. But it goes back to Yahweh. Who is God? I am. Jesus is gentle. So what about you? What is your name? We can talk about the names of God. We can talk about the names of Jesus. We can talk about theology. But when people talk about you, what words do they use? Are you kind? Are you generous? Are you loving? Forgiving? Or do they use other words? Joyce and I had one of the most remarkable experiences a week ago Saturday night. We have a friend in Belize named Liz who invited us to come to a fish barbecue. I wasn't exactly sure what that was, but it sounded good. She said, "We're going to have a fish barbecue and we want you to come." So we said, "Well, we need to bring something." So she allowed us to go get some paper plates and some soft drinks and things like this. And she said, "We're going to meet at 7:30. Now, those of you who have been to Belize know that when they say 7:30, if you get there before 9 o'clock, you're fine. But of course, we were there, being the only two gringos in the group, we were there precisely at 7:30. There were only two other guys there. And they were busy. They were the cooks. We didn't know it at the time, but they were also our host. They had three of these big barrel grills going. And I mean, smoke was going everywhere. And they were busy working those grills. And we introduced ourselves, and one of them said, "My name is Paul." And the other said, "My name is Sepp." S-E-P-P. I immediately discerned they were not from Davidson County. And so I said, "Where are you guys from?" They said, "We live in Austria." I said, "No. I mean, think about it. We're in Belize. And they're from Austria. And every summer, they take 5 weeks holiday." You know how the Europeans do it. 5 weeks holiday. And they go to Belize where they're just laid back. They bring their families. They fish. And because they do all this fishing, about once a week, they have a big barbecue and they invite everyone. For the next 2 hours, we marveled at what took place. There were people from every walk of life who came. They were family members. They were connected in some ways. There were people who were educated and people who were not educated. There were old, there were young, there were children. There were people we'd never seen before. But the one thing we noticed was a gentleness and a graciousness and a kindness, because everybody was so loving and so accepting, and they wanted to make sure that we felt welcome. And as I looked around that evening, suddenly I had a revelation. Because you know the Bible talks about the heavenly banquet. You read the story about Lazarus and the rich man, and he's up at the table with Abraham. I've always had this image of this big, long table, about like you'd see at the Biltmore House. And it's set with all this fine china and candelabras, and there's just an elaborate gourmet meal. But all of a sudden that night, I said, "I've had the wrong image. I think the banquet may be more like this, with some barrel grills and some guys from Austria entertaining people from Belize and people who were young and people who were old and people who were educated and not educated and people who had done well in life and people who had failed in life, but everyone was there. Because we're all God's children. Until we learn that we must be gentle and we must be kind and we must be forgiving and we must be respectful and we must learn to live with people who are different, not to tolerate them, but to accept them as children of God, we will continue to have conflict in this world." When Jesus told Simon Peter to put away his sword, I'm sure somebody said, "Jesus, if he does that, it's all going to be over. You're going to get yourself killed." I am. Let us pray. Teach us, O God, the ways of Jesus, to be gentle, to be kind, and loving, and forgiving. We live in a volatile world. There's so many conflicts. There's so many people who claim absolute truth. But teach us that there is a time that we must put away our sword and we must follow the example of Jesus, gentle lamb, so that we may all become the community of faith and the people of God that you envisioned from the creation of the world. We can't solve the world's problems, but we can begin by solving our problems. So let us claim the name Gentle, and let us follow Jesus. Amen.